We are starting what's called Siman Beis, the second letter of Igeres HaKodesh. It is a very famous letter, known as Ketonti because of the first word, to be found on page 395, 396 in your Tanyas. At the top, and it's interesting, never figured out why, if you look in the back in the Mare Shir, which was established by the Fidei Rebbe, is what the daily Tanya is. Mm-hmm. So he starts the day's Tanya with Perek Beis and does not include the words Acher B'Yosem at Petersburg. And I've never found, I've asked many people, why it is that the Fidei Rebbe did not include those words in the Mare Shir. And do I have to not say them then? I mean, am I exempt from saying them because they're not... It's not part of the Tanya Chitas, and so therefore don't have to say it. I have never gotten an answer on it. So anybody listening gets an answer. Mm-hmm. You can email me at the contact me on the Rabbi Finman page. So this letter was sent after the Alter Rebbe, the famous imprisonment of the Alter Rebbe, 53 days in Tanya, which there are numerous stories about. There is an entire book called The Arrest and Liberation of Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, which goes into great detail about the trials and tribulations of it. In 1996, the KGB finally released the file from the interrogation of it. It was translated from Russian into Hebrew, and I was really hoping that it would get translated into English, but as to this point, there it has still just remains in the original Russian, and almost impossible to read Hebrew. Mm-hmm. So I have a copy of it sitting on my shelf, and I've tried to extend great energy doing it, but the person translating it was probably more fluent in Russian than they were in Hebrew. Uh-huh. So it's not the greatest of translations.
Not here.
So I'm waiting for somebody to translate it into English. So when someone deems it important enough, it'll get translated, and it'll be fascinating. Sure. So it is the many sikhs spoken about the letter without actually commenting on the letter itself. Mm-hmm. When the Alter Rebbe first set up shop, mm-hmm. that's even use the odd expression, in 1776, depending on who you ask, he was a very charismatic person. His maimarim, which were not, he didn't even call them maimarim, he called them vertlach, and he didn't call them kasavim, that's all the hayomim, how they were called, were all very short. I mean, very short. Some of them were just a few lines, some of them just a sentence. Mm-hmm. But they were like laser beams. Mm-hmm. It says that anybody who heard the Alter Rebbe speak before the imprisonment became a disciple. He just had such, his neshama was so intense, it was like a powerful beacon that the sparks of the neshamas of those people just got sucked right into it. The first time that the Alter Rebbe went to Shklov, he came back with busloads of people that became his Hasidim. And with the imprisonment, there was a paradigm shift. So the story goes that the Alter Rebbe was visited in prison by the Baal Shem Tov and the Mizrucher Magid. And they were there with him for every day that he was in prison. They were with him there. Mm. And to the point where he said, well, I should leave. I got the Baal Shem Tov and the Mizrucher Magid right here with me. But that pull wasn't there. You could listen and say, oh, that's very nice, and then walk away and go home. But at that point, what was the Rebbe, Alter Rebbe was saying now at that point, were maimarim. They were big, long explanations of concepts. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of like the Rebbe, Alter Rebbe, was given permission at that point to go from more of a Teresh B'Aksav method of explanation. Indeed, the Tanya, which was written 2 years prior to the arrest, is called the Teresh B'Aksav of Chassidus, because every single line has tremendous explanation, and the Rebbeim, through the last 200 years and change, have spent a tremendous amount of time, lots of pages, explaining the Tanya.
Right.
One line of Tanya could take up a whole book, a whole sefer, to explain one line. Okay, because each one is there's layers and more layers and more and more and more and understanding and trying to. So the Alter Rebbe, after he was released, so it was that he was himself saying greater explanations. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this word Ketainti, it starts up with Ketainti Mikol HaChasadim Mikol Chulu, which that sounds like the beginning of like a mimer. The mimerim all start with a pasuk. Letters generally don't. Letters start with Achar Jisur Shalom, I send regards. the first one we learned, Paischin Bebracha, let's start with a blessing. Mm-hmm. Okay, the next one starts, it starts with a pasuk too, the next one. Okay, ideas and things that are conveyed in it, but to start with this letter was to be understood as being more than just hi, I'm back. Mm. Hi, I'm not dead. Mm. They didn't kill me in prison. Here I am. This is where the Alter Rebbe basically now lays down the course of action for the Hasidim. The major thrust and emphasis, when we get down to the bottom of the page, is he doesn't want to hear about people fighting with Misnagdim anymore. Hmm. Okay? Especially not to go the, as my kids would say when they were little, na 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 na. Okay? We wanna Rebbe, no. Right. Rebbe didn't want that, because what does that do? It just creates greater animosity. And the Rebbe wanted to get over all of that. It's a very interesting. And in explaining this idea of getting over it, there's a maimer from the Tzemach Tzedek. It's just quite interesting that the circumstances of which I learned this maimer from the Tzemach Tzedek. I have a student who is Russian and spent his formative years, he came out of Russia when he was like 10 years old and moved to America when he was like, 23, 24. So he speaks fluent Russian, fluent Hebrew, fluent English. So I sat down and he said, I learned a new word in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. And I said, that you learned a new word in English. I can understand. What kind of new word in Hebrew? He said, I learned this word, tachpazaniot. And I said, that's good. I never heard this word, tachpazaniot. I said, what is tachpazaniot? So he says, it means eclairs. And I said, that's very interesting that instead of just saying the Hebrew word eclair, they say tachpazanios. Like, how do you say Facebook in Hebrew? I always thought, if you say you have Facebook, you would call it, Sefer Panim, mm-hmm. something like that. No, it's Facebook. So I said, we were talking for about a half a second on the word tachbazani. I said, what's the shorish of the word tachbazani? And I'm thinking to myself, it's pachas. Oh, like pachas kamayim, if you like the bracha that was given to Reuven by Jacob. Pachas kamayim is like the flowing of water over there, whatever the thing is. So the next day, the very next day, I open up a sefer from the Tzemach Tzedek. And where am I holding? Because what I had done was I had finished the mimer, and I hadn't turned the page. So I turned the page. What was the mimer? Pachas Kemayim. Mm. Okay? So I immediately texted. I went through it, and I had to go back and learn it again. And I texted him, and when I learned it, before I started learning it the second time, he said, I just started learning a mimer, Pachas Kemayim, and all I could think of was eclairs. Thank you very much. So, but what's the point of that mimer there is Reuven got ranked out.
Yeah.
What did Reuven get ranked out for? Moving his father's couch.
Yes.
Okay. And you go to the whole thing, the difference between Rachel and Leah, and therefore Bilhah would be the natural successor with Rachel and Bilhah. And he says, the Tzemach Tzedek brings an interesting point. He says, the whole reason why Reuven didn't get it, why he would think that he would have to move the couch in order, because this was a slight of his mother, would be the natural progression, that it should go to Leah, not to Bilhah, is because he was small-minded. He didn't have Moichin de Gadlus, is the way that Tzemach Tzedek writes. He didn't have the breadth and expanse of intellect to be able to take in the full whole situation about it. Okay? And then the Tzemach Tzedek explains is when people become slighted by what other people do to them, that is small-mindedness.
Mm-hmm.
And that a person, if they would have, he said, the idea of savlanut, patience, is an expression of moichin de gadlus. That a person has the ability to deal with situations and not get excited and not get upset, and to understand where another person who is wronging them, where their opinion is coming from. Mm-hmm. And to be able to deal with it in such a way that they don't get emotional about it,
mm-hmm.
is an expression of Moichin de Gadlus. And he said, Reuven didn't have it. So what the Alter Rebbe wants over here is, the Alter Rebbe wanted, what did he want from his Hasidim? Everything, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not want his Hasidim to be accused of being small-minded. That would be like the last thing that he would want.
Mm.
And to start rubbing the noses of the misnagdim in the schmutz because they were defeated in their plans of getting Alter Rebbe, he said, that's childish.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that kind of stuff is going on.
Mm-hmm.
I want my chassidim to be bigger than that. Not that we're, and not to do it in such a way saying, I'm bigger than that. I'm not going to get involved with this childish bit. Right. No, because that's just being small-minded and pretending to be bigger.
Yeah. In a more small-minded way.
Correct. But this is it's really taka. What does it mean is that it doesn't bother me at all. Okay? It doesn't bother me at all. With no further ado, let us commence. Ketainti mekol ha-chasodim mekol ha-emes. This is Yaakov on his way back from his father-in-law, Uncle Laban, his father-in-law, with his four wives and 12 kids and all the stuff. And they're approaching Esav.
Mm.
And he's davening to Hashem. And he's trying, he's doing all kinds of things. He's trying to pull out all kinds of possible trump cards. And starts out by saying, I am small from all of the favors, from all the kindness, and all of the truth that you have bestowed upon me.
Hmm.
And the way that you read it, I'll peep shot, is maybe I used up all my brownie points. You know, I have a certain amount of things. I've been able to accomplish a certain amount. And every time I accomplish something, so I get some more change in the bank. But every time that you get that I get something from you, so it's taking the change from the bank.
Hmm.
So maybe my balance is at zero.
Hmm.
We see, for example, famous story, I think it was with Rav Huna, that he was very poor. And his wife says to him, people come to you for brachos all the time for wealth, and you give them brachos, they get wealthy. So why don't you daven for yourself? So he said, okay, fine, for you I'll do it. So he goes out and davens to Hashem, please Hashem, could you make us wealthy for him? My wife wants us to be wealthy. So a hand came out of the sky with a golden table leg. Solid gold. He brings it in and he shows her, he says, well, all you have to do is sell this and we'll be wealthy for the rest of our lives. That night, she has a dream that they're all sitting in Gan Eden. Everybody's sitting at Gan Eden and everybody's sitting at a three-legged table. And they're sitting at a two-legged table. And it's very uncomfortable because it's hard to balance it. Things keep falling off and the table keeps on and I have to hold the table. And so the wife asks somebody, what's happening? How come we only have a two-legged table? And so the response was, well, we gave you the third leg already. You used it up already. So she woke up her husband. She said, take the table leg and take it outside and Daven Hashem should take it back. So Hashem, so he davened in Hashem. He says, listen, my wife doesn't want it anymore. Could you please take it back? And a hand came and took the table leg back. And it says over there, it's the Gemara in Tainus Daf Chafei, that yeah, you get to it in Daf Yomi soon enough.
Yeah.
It's at the end of Tainus. The Gemara says that it was a greater miracle that they took it back. Because give, they give, but take back, they don't take back.
Right.
Okay, but the point I want to make it over here is that this is Rav Huna. I mean, he's got the ability to like talk to God and hands come out of skies with gold table legs.
Right.
That already tells you who he is. And he was losing out. He was using up brownie points. So Yaakov Avinu says, maybe I'm using up brownie points. Maybe I've got nothing left. Listen, what I did accomplish. I was able to outsmart love and haramai, love and the deceiver. I was able to trick the con man. And I wound up on the upper end, and I got him, and I came out, and I am whole. I started with nothing, and now I have everything, as he sold it, as he himself tells Esav, Yesh li kol, I got everything. So he's thinking, everything I got must have like really cut it way down. That's pshat. Okay, and Hashem tells him, don't worry, you're not only having you touch the principal, you haven't even begun to hit the interest yet. Okay, you have nothing to worry about. Al tira avdi Yaakov. Don't worry, my servant Jacob. Pirish. So now he's going to explain it according to Hasidus. This idea of accepting chasidim from Hashem. Pirish. B'chol chesed v'cheshed sh'akarish baruch hu oysa la'adam tzorech li'e shefel ruach b'ma'oid. That means to say that for every act of kindness that Hashem does for the person, that person has to be very humble. This expression, shefel ruach, sort of having a shefel ruach, is from Pirkei Avos. The Alter Rebbe adds, and others want to do this when quoting Mishnah, is to add another word. He puts in the word ma'od.
Very much.
Okay, so the from Pirkei Avos, if you want to be a chassid, so it's fine, just be humble. But if you want to be a chassid, the Alter Rebbe, so the humility has to be me'oid. Okay, he, like you say, the Alter Rebbe never pulled punches. He was always like right there, I want everything. Because what happens, he's going to explain over here, that you... Ches is an expression of love. When you love something, you want to get closer to it. Now you're talking about Hashem, and Hashem is infinite. How are you going to get closer to Hashem? The only way to get closer to Hashem is to make yourself less of a something or more nothing, whichever way you'd like to couch it in verbiage.
Better, greater vessel.
Yes. You have to make yourself more nothing in order to be able to contain a greater infinity. So each act of kindness, understanding that, what is Hashem doing? If Hashem is extending kindness, a chesed, to a person, it's an expression of love that Hashem is extending to them. And then the person is now going to feel closer to Hashem. So if a person wants to feel the closeness of Hashem, they have to make themselves nothing. And then they can feel how close they are to Hashem. But what's going to happen when a person realizes how close they are to Hashem? They're going to realize how far away they are. Because as close as you are to Hashem, you can't get close. You can get closer, but you can't get close. And the closer a person gets to Hashem, the further they are, the further they realize they are. Because now what's happened is because they've made themselves such a nothing, they understand, well, if I'm this nothing and this is all I've got, then I got to make myself a whole lot more nothing in order to get anything. And then as more that a person makes themselves nothing, the more they understand that that's, they're not getting closer. Because of the same category that we had when we were in the end of Yagaris Achuva, that to understand what it is that you don't know, you really have to be brilliant.
You mentioned the case of Dalai Lama, that he, when he was doing tshuva, and he did more and more tshuva, and he realized he could do, he got closer to Hashem, and then he
realized that there was still something there, more, he realized more something that
from,
he had to do.
From his original vera that he had to...
Had to be more refined, yeah. Same type of thing. Because he says, Ki chesed deru yamina v'yamina tichab keni. Because chesed is the right hand, and with the right hand I hug him, or draw him close. So this chesed that the Alter Rebbe is talking now, he has to say both of them. Because chesed deru yamina, when you say the chesed is the right hand, so a hand, okay, you're talking about Hashem's hand. It's an anthropomorphism. Mm-hmm. But it's an indication that if they were calling it a limb of Hashem, that it's got to be limited. So the kindness that comes is an expression of ki chesed deru yamina, that chesed is the right hand. That's actually a lower level of kindness on the part of Hashem, because it's limited to being Hashem's right hand. Mm. Anytime you're going to be able to put it into a specific keli, excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you. Anytime you're going to put it into a specific keli means something that has a use. Like, for example, an arm, you're limiting it, even if you're talking about Hashem. Okay, so it's Hashem's kindness, which is infinite, and you're talking about the chesed of Atzilus, but...
You're still quantifying it.
It's quantified, and therefore it's only going to be relatively infinite. Mm-hmm. Okay? I mean, when you get done with Chesed of Atzilus and you're ready to move on, let me know. I'll call you Rebbe. Okay? And then it's expanded. Why? Because whether one can be exact with the words of the Alter Rebbe in Egeres HaKodesh, I don't know. But in this one, in Ketanti, the Alter Rebbe spent a lot of time formulating the words over here. So I do believe that when he says over here, v'yamina tibchab keni, with his right, now we're not listening, doesn't say hand anymore.
Arm.
Right. Doesn't say arm, doesn't say hand, it just says right. He draws me close. So right now means the whole entire side of right. You know, there's a machlekes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. What's the machlekes over? What's called left? It says that the Parsha Shema has to go on the left side of the tefillin. So Rashi says it's the left means the left one. You got four. You got one, two, three, and four. Let's say one is the left one and four is the right one. So it says the left one. So Shema goes in number one. Box number one. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Okay. Rabbeinu Tam says, well, no, because you got the two right and the two left. So the left one is actually number two.
The middle left.
Because if listen, how far does left extend?
Right.
You know, nobody goes so far as to say, well, the left one extends all the way to the number three. That we don't have. Okay? And it's the same thing in trying to define a corner. That's one of those things that the Pythagoreans have problems with. It's like, what exactly is the corner? You know, the point of tangency between two sides. Mm-hmm. We have a halachic problem that somebody had to come, like God, and tell Moshe that, for example, the corner of your tzitzis has to be no more than three fingers. Right. Because a corner is, it's not a defined entity. The corner could be a quarter of your garment. And where are you going to put your tzitzis? You're going to put your tzitzis in the middle of the garment is what it's going to come out.
Right.
You'll have all four tzitzis hanging out of your neck hole.
Right.
Okay, because that's the corner. This is what we're going to call the corner. Anything more? Because listen, I'm a bigger person, so maybe on me the corner would even be like a four fingers of the garment. Says no, it's three fingers. Okay, we define it as such because we needed somebody to come in and say, nope, this is what how we're
this
defining
is what it.
It
is, right.
This is how we're defining it. So, but here, when it says Yemina Techabkeini, there's nobody defining how right is right. At what point does right become left?
Right.
It's an ambiguous term on purpose. Because now, at that point, when a person gets done with Chesed Deruya Yemina, Chesed is the right side. So now he works on what? Now he's working on Yemina Techabkeini. With the right side, he can become drawn close. Which is a greater expression of kindness. And what happens with each and every additional expression of kindness that Hashem is bestowing on him? He becomes a greater vessel for more chesed. It becomes a whole chain reaction. Okay, like mitzvah gereres, mitzvah, the whole thing over there. Once you get into the groove, it's just like, just keep going. Shehu b'chinas karevas olikim mamish b'yeser seis melefnim. That this is the idea of coming closer to Hashem mamish with more power than from before. I wanted to mention before also the names that he used before. And the second line, when he says that each and every aspect, he's talking about Yaakov Avinu. That he says, Shahakarish Baruchu Oisul Adam, Sarakli Yeshefu Ruch Bima Oid. There he uses the name Hakarish Baruchu. We're talking about the bestowing of Chesed, specifically just as Chesed is Chesed. So he uses the name Hakarish Baruchu. What's Hakarish Baruchu? We say every day in davening, L'shem Yehud Kushabrichu Ushchinte Liachdashim Bidkibavavke. You say that in davening? We say before Baruch Shamar. Svarim say it. Okay, I'm doing this for the sake of the unification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the divine and his divine presence.
As I pick up the two.
The tzitzis, correct.
Yeah.
Okay, so Shechina, we learn from all of the Rebbe's Maimorim from Basel Lagani, is from an expression of Malchus, the divine creator as he relates to us in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Kudshu Brichu, which would be the Aramaic, is an expression, the male aspect of Hashem, which corresponds to the six emotions of which is called Zoh, Zer, Anpim, which is Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod. And so when we're talking about a straight bestowing of Chesed, the way that, for example, that Yaakov got it, it didn't go through Malchus. It didn't go through a divine presence. It didn't get processed. It came directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so that's why the Alter Rebbe says that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, even just as easy written a hey with a slash next to it, we would have understood what he meant. But then what would we be doing? We'd be analyzing. Why did he use Hashem? And I have to come up with some other diuk, right. You know, like this. So the diuk the Alter Rebbe making here is that the kindness is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Over here now at this point, Shehu b'chinas karavis elakim mamish b'yaser seis milifnim. Elakim is associated with gvura. What's this all of a sudden? Yeah. Elakena, you know, my kaya, when you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elakena Hashem Elakena is kaycheno v'chayeseno gvuraseno. Our strength, our power, our might.
Right.
Okay, that's what Elakena is. The idea of a judge, okay, is in your severity. Okay, but the Alter Rebbe does speak earlier in Tanya that there is a love which is an expression of Gevurah, which is a stronger expression than a love which is an expression of Chesed. And he says it's like the love of Rishbei Esh, he calls it, the fire, like a fiery coal. And has the advantage of gold over silver, he uses that expression. And so here, when he's using the name Elakim as an expression of kindness, so we're talking about picking it up, cranking it up not another notch. This is all under the lines. So what I'm going to say now, so all I have to do is stop thumbing my nose at Misnagdim, and this is what I get. Boy, that's worth it.
I don't think that was it. It started with being grateful and...
Like I say,
it continues with being letting.
The Alter Rebbe over here is not writing a thank you letter to God.
Just being grateful.
It's not. I'm saying it's not a thank you letter.
It's not a thank you letter to God, but it's.
Okay, what he's, I mean, the way that the commentaries all explain, you could read it like that. You know, God did me such a great thing over here. I spent 53 days in jail, and I came out, and yay, God. Mm. You know, and now I'm closer to God. But the Alter Rebbe wasn't his modus operandi. The Alter Rebbe wasn't interested in achieving for himself. Mm. His whole thing was what's everybody else doing? So to say that he's giving Hakaras HaTov to the Almighty for allowing him to escape prison and in a successful manner, it's sort of like, I don't want to use the word cheapens, but it doesn't do justice to what the Alter Rebbe was really trying to convey. Because the Rebbeim weren't for themselves. There's a whole article I saw online recently, yesterday, day before yesterday, about rebbes and having their pictures taken.
Mm.
In the early years, there weren't many people taking pictures. Cameras were not something that everybody had.
Right.
So in the 1940s, there weren't that many Jewish photographers. There was one guy who somebody gave him a rich aunt or uncle gave him a birthday present, gave him a camera.
Mm.
And he was the Jewish person in Brooklyn who had a camera, and so he went into the wedding picture business. Okay, and for 20 years he was like the person. Turner Studios, everybody knows the Turner Studios.
Right.
That was the person to get your picture taken from. And he says he has many pictures of not only just Lubavitcher Rebbe but all the Rebbes. That when they goes to take the picture, something comes up in front of their face. A hand, a book, the hat goes down, so he's got a nice good picture of the top of their hat. You know? So, I don't think it had to do with superstition.
No.
Okay? It's like, what are you making all the fuss of me for? I'm not such a thing, you know, I'm not a movie star. You don't have to start taking pictures of me.
Hmm.
And it wasn't until many decades later, and even then, I remember hearing, I don't remember where I was, but I heard on a hookup, the Americans would be broadcast over the telephones, so I heard on a hookup, the Rebbe turned to somebody and said, did you do chitas today? So as soon as the Verbrengen was up, we called up, what was that all about, what was that? And says, there was a bacher standing there taking pictures. Okay, so the Rebbe said to him, listen, you're taking pictures. You don't have anything better to do? Like, why don't you go learn instead of taking pictures of me?
Wow. Yeah.
You know? It's like, what do you want to, you know? It's like they also have these, when the Rebbe was giving out dollars.
Mm.
So there's somebody who would charge, who's charging for your picture with the Rebbe. Okay, you can still get another, have them all posted online. I never did it. Okay, the guy came up to me and said, I got a good picture with you and the Rebbe. I said, I don't want it. He said, very nice. But if I wanted my picture with a pony, I would have gone to take my picture taken with a pony. That's not what the Rebbe is. The Rebbe is not a holy pony.
It's not a circus pony.
Right? Yeah. So, in the meantime, I think I have the picture someplace. People got them for me somewhere. Yeah, so. So it wasn't about the Alter Rebbe. The whole imprisonment was not about the Alter Rebbe. The Friedrich Rebbe, when he came out of prison, said, was it the Friedrich Rebbe or was it the Alter Rebbe? I don't remember. It may have been both. That wasn't me, it was Jewry that was in prison. I think it was by the Friedrich Rebbe. It wasn't me, but it was Russian Jewry that was being imprisoned. I took the fall.
Hmm.
Okay. Oh, and by the way, there is a statement that's attributed to Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev that he wasn't happy that the Alter Rebbe went to prison.
Mm.
Why? I mean, that's okay. Good. Were you happy the Alter Rebbe went to prison? I wasn't happy, but he wasn't happy the Alter Rebbe went to prison because the Alter Rebbe had a choice.
Yeah.
You know the famous story that when Alter Rebbe was going to be arrested, he went to Shmuel Menkes and said, "Should I let them take me?"
Right. Yes.
And he answered, of course you should, because if you're a Rebbe, nothing's going to happen to you. If you're not a Rebbe, you deserve everything you're going to get because you took all the geschmack out of the physical world for so many people.
Right.
Okay. But what does it mean, should I let them take me? What does that mean? something was going on. It was a spiritual thing. We equate 53 chapters of Tanya, 53 days in prison, the 20 questions that they asked had nothing to do with the charges, and it was all considered some kind of spiritual kitriglamila, some kind of spiritual accusation. Okay? Yeah. So the Alter Rebbe, so the Levitsky Berdichev said, whatever the Alter Rebbe, why did he accept upon himself the Yisurim Haguf and the Yisurim of Klal Yisroel on himself, is what he said. We could have done the whole thing using Makifim, is the expression that Levitsky Berdichev uses. Makifim means superficial life forces. Because what's Klippa? Where is this all coming from? There are very fine levels of Klippa. Okay, what's a Klippa? A Klippa is anything which poses
conceals
opposition right to godliness. So Klippas come in many forms. A Klippa is not just pig.
No.
Okay? A Klippa is anything. So if something is, the Alter Rebbe is given permission to write the Tanya. And it was published. We know that there's other Sfarim that the Alter Rebbe wrote that wound up getting burned.
Right.
Which meant he wrote them and he shouldn't have. The fact that we don't have the Sefer Shel Tzadikim means that the world wasn't ready for Sefer Shel Tzadikim. And supposedly the Alter Rebbe wrote a commentary which was a compilation, which was the synthesis, rather, of Rashi, Ibn Ezra, and Ramban. And he wrote it and he had a dream that he was standing in front of a Beis Din. And who are the Beis Din? The Rashi, Ibn Ezra, and Ramban. And they have a taina against him that since he wrote his commentary, they're not learning him. Mm-hmm. So he himself took the commentary and burnt it. So the fact that these things get burnt, and then there was these fires that happened in Lubavitch. And Svarim got burnt. We don't have, if we would have had this, the Svarim that were saved, the Alter Rebbe spent years working on the Shulchan Aruch. He had 10 volumes of Shulchan Aruch. We have basically 4 and a bit is basically what we have left. And there's pieces missing out of those too. We would have had all 10 volumes. I can guarantee you that most of the rabbis around the world would not be looking at that big set down there on the bottom of shelf over there that weighs a ton when they needed to ask have a question answered. It's so much easier. You just go to Alter Rebbe. Alter Rebbe has it all spelled out. He's got all the opinions and then gives all of the leniencies and all of the stringencies and says when the leniencies can be used, when is better to use the to be stringent, and when it's like you're too fucknuck if you use the stringency, you should really use the leniency. And that would have been it. That would have been an end all. Yeah. And me as a Lubavitcher rabbi, I would have been hard-pressed for you to get me to open up a Shachintaz. I just wouldn't have done it. Okay, right. The world wasn't ready for that yet. There was too much Giloy. Because of the fact that the world was ready for Tanya, and that didn't get burnt, is already something. But there's a Klippa. What's the Klippa? The Klippa was a group of Jews in Shklov and Vilna. It had to be a very refined Klippa. It couldn't be Goyim that were bringing the accusation against the Alter Rebbe. This had nothing to do with the Russian government.
Right.
They had no relationship with this at all. This was far beyond them. This was beyond what their souls could reach. So it had to go the accusation had to go to, had to come through Jews.
Right.
Okay, the Jews were the Klippa. And we see in ensuing generations, the Mittler Rebbe was also arrested. And where was the source of the arrest there? Is somebody who was a cousin of the Mittler Rebbe. Drew up a whole false thing about, charge of this and charge of this. So the Mittler Rebbe also spent time in jail. And his time in jail, what did he do this whole time in jail? He said over my marim the whole time that he's in jail. To him, he wasn't even in jail. It was like this is it. You call it it was like he was making fun of the whole thing. You call this an accusation? This is nothing. Okay? And then we have later on, so there's the Friedrich Rebbe. So the main accuser of the Friedrich Rebbe was someone who grew up together with the Friedrich Rebbe. It was a Ben Bias of the Friedrich Rebbe. Mm-hmm. He grew up in the, and when he came into arrest the, when he came to arrest the Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe, he did not want to wake up the Rebbetzin. Because this woman was like his mother. And when she woke up and she started screaming, she said, "Please take her out of here. I can't deal with that." Okay? And then we take it one step further. The Rebbe didn't have to go to jail, but his Sfarim did. Mm. And where was the accuser there? Where was the Klippa there? It was a nephew. Okay, so we see that in all of these accusations, the clip is becoming more and more and more refined. Okay, where can we go now? Well, there's no Rebbe now to take to jail or to accuse or whatever, you know. So, and we're still trying to get this farm back. You know, although you can go see them now, they're on display, some of them, under glass in the Russian, in the Jewish Museum in Russia someplace.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was not what the Rebbe wanted. The Rebbe did not want them on display. He wanted them for use in New York, where they belong. So hopefully we'll be able to manage to, you know, when Putin retires, you know, so the next guy will let him out, whatever, you know. So this klippa was there for the Alter Rebbe to overcome. That's the whole purpose of klippa. There's an accusation. There's something that's stopping my Avodas Hashem. What are you supposed to do when there's something blocking your Avodas Hashem? You say, "Oh, I'm sorry." It's like, you know, you're running a race, and you're supposed to run as fast as you possibly can, and somebody put a hurdle in the middle of the track right there. So what are you going to do? You run up to the hurdle, and you go, "Oh, I'm sorry," and you go back home.
Right, you stop and go back home, right?
Yeah, somebody put the hurdle there. I mean, you know, no, you're supposed to go over it. It will slow you down. I said this before. There's nobody alive who can run 100-yard hurdle race as they can 100-yard dash.
Correct.
It's impossible.
It's not possible, right.
Okay, there's a lot of people who can run 100-yard hurdles faster than I can run 100-yard dash, yes.
Right.
But there's nobody can run the hurdles faster than they can run the dash themselves.
Correct.
So it is going to slow you down. It's meant to slow you down, but it's meant to get over.
Right.
Okay, and by getting over, what happens is since the klippas are compared to darkness, so then by overcoming the klippa, what we do is we erase the obfuscation of godliness, and we allow greater godliness to come about, which is why after the Alter Rebbe came out of prison, now he's suddenly saying Maimarim, and he's not saying one-liners. Okay. Because did he have those in him when before it? You bet. They were all in there. But he couldn't get them out. Okay, if he would have had the charisma and said one of those big Maimarim, people probably would have died right on the spot. They would have done a Nadav and a View. Okay, but like this, okay, so we'll damper it down a little bit. It's in one hand it's a plus, one hand it's a minus, but in the long run, look what we got.
Right.
It's the same deal with Moshe coming down the mountain the second time. The first time Moshe came down the mountain, the whole entire Torah would have been the four books of the Chumash and half of Sefer Yehoshua.
Right.
Okay, that would have been it. And Torah Shebal Peh, we wouldn't have needed Torah Shebal Peh because everybody would have known. How do you put on tefillin? Of course, you know, this is how you put on tefillin.
Right.
And tzitzis, everybody would have known. This is how you put on tzitzis.
Right.
Comes along now the second ones. Okay. So, on one hand, it's a lower business, but in the meantime, so we have 24 books of the Bible, and we have all the Medrashim, and we have a living organism called the Torah Shebal Peh, which is constantly growing and becoming more, and we have deeper insights and meaning and ability to learn, and more and more and more, and every time, there's more godliness.
Right.
Okay? V'kol ha'karav el Hashem b'yeser seis v'havana l'mayla mayla. And however close a person gets with more power, we're still talking, this is an expression of godliness, which is of burning love, is lifted up higher and higher. Up till now, so we were talking about, for example, Chesed of Atzilus. But here at this point, listen, if Hashem's willing to give higher than Chesed of Atzilus, who are we to complain and say no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Generally, the reason why we don't get higher than Atzilus is because we can't withstand it.
Hmm.
But later on, in chapter 19, in letter 19.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about the understanding of the Arizal and Rashbi versus the comprehension of Moshe. It says, Moshe is Rabban Kol HaNevi'im, so he's the head of all the prophets, he's experienced the greatest level of prophecy. Mm-hmm. So you don't hear him talking about Ak. Mm-hmm. And here you have the Arizal. You know, the result was 2,700 years later, and he's talking about Ak. So how is it that the Arizal is talking about Ak and Moshe never talked about Ak?
Right.
Okay, stay tuned, we'll talk about that when we get there. But the if a person is can get into this groove, so yeah, you can get to Ak too. It's not going to happen so fast. Don't hold your breath. The Tzarek, so he says in the middle of the sentence, the Kol Karev El Hashem B'Yosef says, Avanu L'mai L'mai, L'Tzarek L'hi Yosef Shefel, Ruach L'mata Mata. So the higher it is that you're getting the kindness from, the lower it is you have to bring it down. The way that the literal translation is, the more humbler down here you have to be. But he could have said that without Mata Mata. Usually the expression Mata Mata is an expression of where does it get drawn to.
Hmm.
We're bringing it down, lamata mata, which means we're bringing it all the way down to the ground. Okay? So even this person who appreciates the kindness that they have and all of this closeness that they're able to achieve and the giluyim that they're experiencing, it doesn't matter. If you're up there, you have to bring it down here. You have to do something with it. This has always been the Lubavitch modality. We're not interested in chapping malachim or counting miracles. The expression chapping malachim? Okay. We don't have to start grabbing the, you know, oh, I got one. That was never our thing. It was sort of more like there were so many miracles happening under the table, we never looked underneath to see what they were.
Yeah.
That was more of our thing. Because our deal is, what are you going to do with it? It's very nice, you got it.
What effect am I making?
What am I going to do with it? I'm here to make the world a better place. I'm not here to leave the world.
Right.
Even though none of us are getting off this planet alive. But I'm here that in the 120 years that I'm going to be here, that the world has to be better. And for sure, one of the major things that Tanya was doing was providing us the tools to facilitate in making it better.
Right.
That's what the Alter Rebbe would be. He said, Ki karav alecha hadavar ma'od. It's very close for you to do this.
Hmm.
You can have the giluyim. You can get them. But so now what are you going to do with them?
Hmm.
Chapter 32 of Tanya says it's all worthless if you're not a mensch.
Right.
V'tzarech li'yais yaseh shuffle v'ruach l'matamata k'mar shekasev v'rachak Hashem nira li. From afar Hashem appears to me. K'naita dekule kamei dafke kalo chashiv. That means to say that before Hashem everything is considered like nothing. And its expression is kemeh, before Hashem. That means the more before Hashem a person is, remember the person's getting close, the
right.
Kindness is getting close.
Right.
So the more that Hashem person gets close to Hashem, the more he becomes nothing. Yeah. He spells it out, Imkem Kol Shehu Kameh Yoser, Hu Yoser Kalova Ayin Ve'afis. The more he gets closer, the more nothing he becomes.
Right.
And this is the idea of right hand of chesed, which is right hand of kedusha, which is the chesed of Avraham, that about it which it says, I am dust and ashes. Avraham was shown the greatest revelations at the time for anybody.
Hmm.
Being able to walk out of a furnace is no mean feat.
That's not too
That's shabby. A pretty good
yeah,
one.
That's not too shabby.
Okay, and to be able to survive all of the different things that happened to him, the war with the four kings, with the throwing the dirt, and all the stuff that he was able to see. So he recognized with all of the things that the Giloyim that he had, well, what am I? I'm nothing more than dirt. Dirt is the lowest manifestation in this world. It doesn't get any lower than dirt.
Right.
Okay. Had he gotten a little bit more, he might have just said, you know, God, I'm nothing more than a subatomic particle. Mm. But he didn't get that much Geely. He only got up to dirt.
Right.
Quantum mechanics.
Yes. Okay. So we will leave it from here. We get up to Offer Va'efer in the middle of page 396 to be continued.